And again, good morning. It is good to see you here in person, and we're glad to have you joining us on Facebook Live as well. So I want to begin this morning by asking you a question, a simple quiz, and I want to know, how many verses do you think there are in the Bible where money is addressed? How many verses about money do you think, money, debt, and possessions, do you think there are in the Bible? Would you say there's A, less than 100, B, about 200 to 500, C, less than 1,000, or D, more than 2,000? Who thinks it's A? Who thinks it's B? Who thinks it's C? Who thinks it's D? Y'all win the prize for the day, because it is, in fact, letter D. Did you know there are more than 2,000 verses in the Old and New Testaments that address the topic of money in one way or another? In fact, that makes the topic of money, debt, and possessions one of the most talked about subjects in the entire Bible. This morning, we are continuing our summer series, our summer journey through the book of Proverbs as we're attempting to discover and to develop some summer smarts, or what the book of Proverbs refers to as wisdom. Today, we are in chapter 11. Now, I was going to pick verse 23 as the verse that I was going to preach on. And if you don't remember it or just can recall it off the top of your head, it simply says this: a beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. But we're going to cover that on another day. We're going to have some fun with that one. This morning, I want to spend some time on where I think and what I see Proverbs chapter 11 is addressing the most. It's talking in great length about money, debt, and possessions. Now check this out. In verse 4 of chapter 11, it says, "Riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death." Or verse 15, "There's danger in putting up security for a stranger's debt. It's safer not to guarantee another person's debt." Or verse 18, "Every evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last." And then in verses 24 through 28, we find these amazing words talking about money, debt, and possessions. "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. People curse those who hoard their grain, but they bless the one who sells in time of need. If you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you. Trust in your money and down you go. But the godly flourish like leaves in spring." Now, sometimes we talk in the church, when people come, they think all you ever do in the church is talk about money. And that is so not true. In fact, I haven't preached a message on money in quite some time. But you know, I actually like talking about money. I like talking about what the Bible has to say about money, debt, and possessions, because I believe that there is true freedom in living your life financially in accord with the scriptures. I believe, as Dave Ramsey says, that there is true freedom for those who live according to biblical principles about money. Money, debt, and possessions. And so we're going to talk about that a little today, and we're going to look at some of the things that the Bible has to say about money, debt, and possessions. And the reason we're doing that, again, is because, number one, chapter 11 talks a lot about money. The whole book of Proverbs, as we're going to see, talks a lot about money. As we said at the beginning, the whole Bible talks a lot about money, so it's important for us to do that, because I, again, believe that there is true freedom, absolute freedom, in getting our finances in line with the scriptures. In an article for Forbes Online, Peter Grandlich writes this. He says, money and possessions are the second most referenced topic in the Bible. And the message is clear. Nowhere in Scripture is debt viewed in a positive way. The writers of the Bible anticipated the problems we would have with money and possessions. There are more than 2,000 references. Our culture is now built on the premise that we have to have more money and more stuff to feel happy and secure. And then this line, wow, this is prophetic. Public storage is the poster child for what's wrong with America. We have too much stuff because we've bought into the myth fabricated by Wall Street and Madison Avenue that more stuff equals more happiness. That's the total opposite of the truth and the opposite of what it says in the Bible. Brandon Park, in an article entitled 2,350 Bible Verses on Money, writes this. He says, money is to be a resource, but it is not to be my source. That's proverbial, isn't it? Money is to be a resource, but it is not to be my source. But when we look at the topic of money, debt, and possessions, it seems to me that there are two really big reasons why we should talk about money in the church. Again, number one, I've said this already, but you should repeat it again. The Bible talks a lot about money. And in the book of Proverbs, money comes up more than 100 times as it addresses wealth, hard work, honest and dishonest gain, greed, giving, debt, lending, investments, and the world and the worth of righteous living. And number two, there is a direct correlation between the way we handle our money and our faith. There is a direct correlation between the way we handle our money and our faith. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And we've already looked at Proverbs 4:23 that challenges us to guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We discover some amazing principles on money and possessions in Proverbs. I just came up with this list of like 9 things. Check this out. Number one, there are extremes of wealth and poverty that provide unique temptations to those who live in them. Number two, we're encouraged, we're challenged to don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses. Sorry, guys. Number three, the rich and poor are more alike than they think. Number four, you can't outgive God. Number five, money cannot give you ultimate security. As Scripture says, it's here today, but can be gone tomorrow. Number six, the Lord hates those who get rich by injustice. Number seven, the Lord loves those who are generous to the poor. Number eight, hard work and good decision making usually lead to increased prosperity. And number nine, money isn't everything. And there's lots of verses that talk about that. So it seems to me it is important for us to talk about money, debt, and possessions. And where I want to spend a little bit of time this morning are talking about, and I've ranked these in importance, of four biblical principles on money, debt, and possessions that I want to present to you this morning. Four principles that I believe with all my heart that if we would all put them into practice would radically and drastically change our financial situations. That if we would follow the wisdom that we see in these verses, it will change our lives. Now please note, this is not my wisdom, so don't get mad at me. This is God's wisdom. This is directly from his word that lifts up these principles. So again, what do I want you to do? I want you to look at these four principles. And my hope and my prayer is that if we would, individually and collectively, live by these principles, it would radically and drastically change our current and our future financial situations. Principle number one, set aside money for tithing and offering. A tithe is 10% right off the top. Offerings are things addition to the tithe. We might think that 10% is the ceiling, but actually in Scripture, 10% is the floor. Actually, if you go back to Genesis, what you discover is that the people of God had three tithes that they had to do before they could live on their money or what God had left for them. Three tithes, 30%, they were supposed to give back first as first fruits. So there is the tithe that's not the floor. I'm sorry, that's not the ceiling. It's the floor. And there are offerings that are supposed to be given on top of that. And again, as I said, they are addressed everywhere in Scripture, beginning in the earliest pages of Genesis. The tithe, the offering, is the overarching principle or the foundation that we see in every proverb that has to do with money, debt, and possessions. We have to read it in light of already knowing what the Bible has already said about tithes and offerings. It says, for instance, in Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, that we're going to look at in just a couple minutes, that we're to honor God with our wealth and the best part of everything that we have. In the book of Malachi, we see God speaking through the prophet, literally throwing down the challenge to his people with these words. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Then check out these words that God speaks through the prophet. Try it. Put me to the test. God is saying, I'm going to test you on this one. It's like the one place in Scripture where we see God speaking through the prophet that literally says, test me on this one. Put it all, 10%, into the storehouse of God first. Give it right off the top and see if I don't pour out the blessings. Now, contrary to what some people read this as, that God's going to make you wealthy if you do that, that's not what it says. He's going to pour out blessings on your life. Blessings that have this spillover effect in your whole life. Because what you will discover is that money no longer has a hold on you, but you have a hold on it. And you will be able to tell your money where to go instead of it telling you where to go, as Dave Ramsey often says. See, because what God wants us to do is to understand that money is a tool that we can actually use for good. And what we really discover, as 2 Corinthians 9:7, is that God loves a person who gives cheerfully. As a matter of fact, the better translation says, God loves a hilarious giver. Have you ever met a hilarious giver? Who's just like, is always the giver? Always like helping, giving? I've met a few of those people in my life. And they're contagious. Like, I've gotten to meet Dave Ramsey at a conference before. That dude is a cheerful giver. He just loves to help people. And you just see it. Like, what you see is what you get with him. He is a cheerful giver. He loves to help people. So biblical principle number one, if we set aside monies for tithes and offerings right off the top, we will begin to experience the blessings of God in a way that we've never experienced before. Biblical principle number two, set aside money for saving and investing. Notice, spending hasn't come up yet, right? We set aside money for tithing and offerings. Then we set aside money for savings and investing. A good rule of thumb, give 10, save 10. Give 10%, save 10%. It's a great place to start. Saving and investing are good things that we are to do, but like everything else, we have to be careful, as they too can easily become idols or something that we cling to tighter than we cling to our relationship with Christ. Again, I referenced it a moment ago, but Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord. We are to honor the Lord with our wealth and with the best part of everything that we produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8 says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Scripture has a lot to talk about lazy people as well. It says, learn from their ways and become wise. Who ever knew that you could learn something from an ant? Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Or Proverbs 21, 20, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Now, if you've been here the last few weeks, you remember we've been talking about how Proverbs sets up this dichotomy between wise people and foolish people, people who have wisdom and people who have folly. And no one ever wants to be called a fool. That when we live by God's principles, we're living into wisdom. And that wisdom will lead us into righteous living. So biblical principle number one, set aside money for tithes and offerings. Biblical principle number two, set aside money for saving and investing. Number three, again, I put this in what I think is in order because I think it's so powerful. Number three, debt should be avoided at all cost. At all cost, debt should be avoided. Did you know that personal consumer debt hit an all-time high in the first quarter of 2020? $14.3 trillion. Anybody know how many zeros that is? It's like a lot. $14 trillion. Did you know the average personal household credit card debt in the United States is that they carry, not just what you purchase and then you pay off, is now somewhere around $8,400 that we carry? But what does the scripture say? What do Proverbs, what does wisdom say about debt? In Proverbs 17, 18, it says, it's poor judgment to guarantee another person's debt or to put up security for a friend. Parents, that's a great one for you when your kid says, will you co-sign a loan for a car? No. Don't do it. Sorry, guys. You're like 15, 16, sorry. Proverbs 22, 7. Dave Ramsey says this one all the time. The borrower is servant, or another translation says, a slave to the lender. We become slaves to that stuff. See, if you have debt, there are some amazing resources that I'm going to share with you in just a few moments that I'll just lay before you that I hope could help you get a handle if you have debt issues in your life. But the Bible lays out again great principles for us on money, debt, and possessions. Set aside money for tithing and offering. Set aside money for saving and investing. Avoid debt at all cost. And number four, accumulating too much stuff is dangerous. Accumulating too much stuff is dangerous. When is it too much? You know it, right? You know when it's too much. The quote that I shared with you earlier, because you see these things popping up all over the place. They are actually one of the highest revenue generating businesses in the United States today is storage units. And that line, public storage is the poster child for what's wrong in America. Now, Imagine this. We rent a storage place because we have too much stuff to keep it in our house. Now, some of us are moving from one house to another, or we're transitioning, our parents have aged, we're putting stuff that we're going to go through. That's not the majority. The majority of the public storage stuff is we just all got too much stuff. So we rent a house for it, and we just put it all there. Think about it. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroy them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is," this is Jesus, okay? This is Jesus. "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." Now, money is benign. It is not really good or bad. It is benign. It is really nothing. It's the love of money, the idleness of money, that makes it a bad thing, because it's the root, Scripture says, of all evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Here's what I'd say to this. If you want to take your faith to a deeper level, do a hard look at your finances. If you want to take a deeper dive into your faith, take a deep look at your finances. So let's review. Again, these are basic biblical principles. Four principles on money, debt, and possessions that I believe will radically change our current, and it will change our futures if we would begin to live by what God has to say about these things. Number one, first and foremost, set aside money for tithing and offering. Number two, set aside money for saving and investing. Number three, avoid debt at all cost. And number four, accumulating too much stuff is dangerous. We should avoid accumulating too much stuff. Now, I always want to be practical in my message. I want to give you tools to help you change the way you think, or change the way you feel, or change the way you act. There are three amazing tools that I would lay before you, besides just reading God's word and saying, all right, here's God's ideal, here's my life, how do I bring these things together so that I'm really living my life according to God's ideas and God's principles? Let me give you three terrific resources that you see up on your screen that if you want to get a hold and start living your life according to godly principles, these are Christian organizations that can help you to do that. The first one is DaveRamsey.com. You've heard, I'm sure, of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Just as an aside, how many of y'all have taken Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University? Check that out. It changes the way you live. And he's got great tools. He's actually changed his class from 13 weeks to 9. You can do Financial Peace University online in 9 weeks and get a handle on your debt, on your savings, on your money, on your possessions. So I would encourage you to check out DaveRamsey.com. You can also listen to him. He's on the radio Monday through Friday as well. GoodSenseMovement.org. Again, another Christian organization, has great budgeting software, has great tools to help you. Principles are very similar to Dave Ramsey's. And Dave will tell you, this is not rocket scientist. Rocket science. He says, I'm just laying out for you how to get on godly principles. But Good Sense Movement is another, and this is a nonprofit organization that can help you to do that. Or Crown Financial Services. They were kind of one of the real early ones on this, if you're familiar with this whole arena. Crown is another great organization to help you and me to get a handle on money, debt, and possessions. And what I would say to you parents is start early. Start early. I've shared with you guys this, that one of the things Jenny and I talked about when we were courting and when we were doing our premarital counseling to get ready to get married. Like, she had shared with me that her dad and mom would sit down with her and her brother. They did like a family retreat where they talked about budgeting and how to lay out your money so that even at the lowest level, when you start that part-time job, you know, where you're working at, in Jenny's case, it was the miniature golf place, or, you know, it might be at a restaurant or something, that when you start out at that level, you start out living according to godly principles, so that then as you move up, it's easier to move up, instead of if you go from nothing and then say, hey, this is what God wants, and you're going, dang, it's easier that way. So start out early. Begin to teach your kids about what does it mean to handle money, debt, and possessions according to God's standard. And if you're listening to this and you're looking at me going, dang, I'm a mess, these resources, they can help you to do that. And I would encourage you as well to pray and say, God, what should I do? Because you know what? Scripture says that God is faithful. If we reach out, he's right there. If we ask, he's there. If we seek him, he is there. And he will give us what we need to accomplish the things that are set before us. So this principle that we see in chapter 11 that we're going to see, remember, over 100 times, and I'm not preaching 100 times on money, debt, and possessions. We'll go to something else. This is powerful stuff because lots of us are literally caught in a mess. And so my prayer would be that this would be an encouragement for you. Not another sermon on money, but an encouragement to say, how could I and my family experience the freedom that comes when we live according to God's idea? Again, not just money, debt, and possessions, but all of life. But in this arena, if we would begin to take these steps of living the way that God wants us to, imagine where you might be a month from now, 6 months from now, a year from now. What might it be for your children to the next generation? So I would lift that before you. The Bible has a lot to say about money, debt, and possessions. And my friends, we should listen and we should take heart. So in this series, as I said, we are walking our way. We are journeying through this summer in the book of Proverbs. So here's your assignment for this week. I hope that you will do this. I hope that you are walking this journey with us, because as I called it last week, chapters like 10, 11 through 31, they are like nuggets of wisdom, like hors d'oeuvres at a buffet. That you're going to read these things, and it's not written as a narrative, like a story. You're going to read these like that one about the ring, the horse, the snout of the pig kind of stuff. Like, you're just going to find these amazing nuggets that you might just get caught on one. And I would encourage you to maybe even stay caught there and say, God, what do you want me to do with that? So here's your assignment. Read chapter 12 this week over and over and over. Maybe read it from a variety of translations, because it might be a particular translation that speaks to you really well. What we give our students is the New Living Translation that I love. Many of my professors from seminary were on the translation team for this, and it puts the scriptures in today's language that we can understand. So read chapter 12, see where God is speaking to you, and I'd love to hear where God is encountering you in his scriptures. And you can just send me an email to george@faithpointchurch.org and just let me know, where's God stirring you? What's God doing? Like, where did God speak to you in the midst of this passage? So again, why do we do this? I want you to experience freedom, true freedom that I believe that God has for all of us. God says, my ways are not your ways. And I think the sooner we begin to live our lives, the entirety of our lives, according to God's ways, the better. And in this arena, it's where we'll experience freedom. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to know that you have our best at heart. God, I pray that you would help us to discover the freedom and the abundant life that you have for us. If we would live in your word, through the power of your word, in alignment with your word. God, I know that you are not a cosmic killjoy, but you want us to experience abundant life like we've never experienced before. And so you, in your most amazing grace that we sung about earlier, you have inspired authors to tell us your heart, to lay out before us who you are, who we are, and the kind of life you want us to experience. So God, I pray that you would give us a burning passion, a desire to seek you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, so that we might truly be the men and the women that you created us to be. And we pray that in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.